program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. There we go. Got your shovel sharpened, everybody. We're off to the lawn. We're off to the garden. We're off to see Larry. Hey, Larry Glass, how are you today?
Doing just fine. The sun's up. Got cakes on the griddle. We're ready to go.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
Exactly,
no,
Rick.
Hey, you're a country boy.
We have a whole week of good weather coming on.
Yes, we do.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the garden.
Yeah. Your phone calls are welcome today at 1-800-749-5936. That is toll free, and you can talk to Larry, our expert here. And with all this nice weather here, a lot can get done, even though we are, you know, heading into winter. This is a time where we do a lot of closing up and prepping up again.
You bet. Yeah. It's time to close the doors for the season,
uh-huh.
For some parts. But actually, it's kind of a very active time of the year when it comes to making some changes in the landscape,
mm-hmm.
transplanting plants and heavy pruning and whatnot can happen at this point.
Oh, I got my rose bush.
You did? You dug it? You cut it out?
No. We're going to give it one more chance at life. We just cut her down short like suggest. We'll see it.
It's a knockout rose, right?
Yeah.
Knockout roses, they are complete from the top to the bottom, so they can be trimmed pretty much all the way down,
mm-hmm.
because they're not grafted.
Yeah.
A lot of the grafted roses, if you cut them way back, the rootstock comes
yeah.
up.
Oh, yeah.
And it grows basically faster than bamboo.
It does.
and you can always tell it's root. I still have some. When I moved into the house, there's a rose
yeah.
that had been cut back. Yeah. It was dead and all that. And the rootstock came up. It's still coming up after 16 years. Jeez, it's persistent. Those wild roses are tough. Hey, Kevin, what's happening?
Hey, Larry, how
could
you doing?
Could have used his chainsaw on that thing, you know.
You know, I got to tell you.
Come back.
Larry, yeah. So Thanksgiving morning, I got out with my diesel-powered hedge clippers. And I went to all the rose bushes and I started cutting them, whacking them back.
Good deal.
And my son, not the ones who live here, but the ones who in Branson, he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Larry,
Thanksgiving. What are you doing?
What are you doing out here?" I said, "Larry says on Thanksgiving is when you're supposed to do these rose bushes."
That's right.
And I said that to Larry one time. He goes, "Well, I didn't actually mean on that day, but somewhere around Thanksgiving." I said, "No, you said on Thanksgiving,
Thanksgiving,
so I do it
yeah.
every year."
Yeah,
it's while them women are talking in the house and stuff.
I'm out there.
Yeah, they're cutting away.
I'm cutting away at the rose bushes. The problem was, Larry, they were still blooming that
yeah.
Thanksgiving day.
They were.
My roses were blooming, and I'm cutting them off. So my little grandson, he took a bunch of the flowers and took them into his mother.
Oh, good kid.
Well, that was good then.
Off the roses I was cutting back.
Wipe off all that diesel oil. And
yeah.
I saw those big,
smell
big
it.
Plumes of black smoke come up.
It smells so good. I love the smell of diesel fumes.
And roses.
And the kerosene that burns through jet engines.
I love
that smell. I know some people say, "Oh, it's awful." I don't know. I just
like
so,
it.
So that's you running around the airport chasing airplanes.
No, yeah. I just.
With a chainsaw.
And now today, Larry, I'm going to get my sprayer out, and I'm going to spray my yard with Roundup.
Yeah, I looked out on my grass on the way to the mailbox and noticed there are some weeds. That's some henbit coming up.
Yeah.
And what left of the fescue that mine's pasture fescue.
KY31, right.
Yeah, it's
Kentucky 31.
Yeah, it's just old pasture. And I don't want to mow 9 months out of the year or 10, whatever it is. So I've been working on it for a couple of years, spraying it with Roundup. And I got to tell you, it kills the henbit, too, for the next spring.
Yeah, I remember that last spring we went
out
there.
You could
and
see
I said,
the strips.
Kevin, what are you writing your name and your weeds?
I had strips. So I'm going to get them this year.
Get the drone up there. Look at this Kevin on it.
So I'm going to get them today.
Spot. Yeah.
Today's the day.
Good deal. Yeah.
There's not going to be much wind.
We had a really, really cold spell. If you look close to the curb, though, there's still some green.
There's still some right there.
On the edge of the curb.
I know it.
So be careful around there. At least you
won't
have to.
It doesn't matter.
You won't have to edge it at much. It'll come back.
It'll grow back. Bermuda and Zoysia just take off.
Yeah.
And so.
So good. I might do that this week sometime.
I'm going to get
that
done.
The weather's going to be really warm. Those spring weeds are going to want to start really growing.
I'll get it today, and I know it's going to be warmer, but. The days will go by, and it'll finally translocate, and it'll get them.
Supposed to be almost 70 this week.
I know.
Yeah.
But today, there's not going to be much wind today, so I can do this. Mm-hmm. And my neighbors, of course, there's nothing to kill right now.
Yeah, I remember one time he sprayed, and then half a colonial was dead.
Oh, well.
I get out there with
no, I'm just
whether
kidding.
It's Roundup or Remedy or whatever I'm using.
That's not true.
Oh, man.
Get it. So, anyway, got that I got to do today. And
how are your live oaks doing?
My live oaks are live oaks. Compared to around here, mine are doing really good. But I don't want to compare them to the ones in Georgia.
No, God, those are beautiful. Oh, those are
magnificent. But do you think there's enough moisture down there if we were to have a zinger that my live oaks are okay?
Yes. You don't want to overdo it. Our soil here is heavier than what they're used to, so you don't want to overwater them.
Okay.
So.
I should have plenty.
However, it's not going to rain all week.
The other thing I've done is put a whole bunch of mulch around, like bucket loads from my tractor around my live oaks.
Tractor mulch? What is that?
No.
Is that metal shavings? What?
No, I mean, I use the bucket with my tractor. Much. Big piles.
Yeah. That's what I do with my leaves. I did that 2 weeks ago. I just ran over with the mower.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left. It completely ground them up, and now they're becoming part of the soil.
That's good.
So it.
And so we've shut our sprinklers off.
Yeah.
Turned it off at the meter, and boom.
Yep, I've been busy shutting down sprinkler systems as well. Did quite a few.
I know.
Yeah. Now, if it doesn't rain this week, they'll say, "Could you come turn it back on?"
We'll get some more rain.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw some after this nice stretch of weather. Mm-hmm. There's some
Thursday, Friday-ish chance.
Rain in the forecast.
Oh, it'd be all right then, yeah. But it'll be a ground floor opportunity, though, to get rid of your overwintering weeds. Look carefully in your grass.
You'll see it.
And you'll see some little tiny scallop-shaped leaves under there. That's the hen bit. It's just
those pretty purple flowers that
it's
the spring.
It's just waiting for February. And this might trick it, actually, this warm weather. It might fool it into thinking it's February. And it'll probably come up and start growing.
And the good thing is I won't have those pretty purple flowers that are so pretty out there in the spring.
If they were to breed those to make big blooms, golly, we couldn't get enough of them.
I know it.
Yeah.
So what else are y'all doing out there at the
We have a great selection of poinsettias right now. And
it's,
we've had
a lot of chop chops
come in.
Have you?
Good, yeah.
We had some winners picking those up.
Some winners picking up the poinsettias. And we got a lot to sell, too. And
Christmas
cactus.
What colors are your poinsettias?
Red, and red.
Oh, you don't have any of the blue ones?
Yeah, there's some variegated ones, too.
Is there?
So we got some different colored ones, yes.
How do they do that?
It's just hybridizing.
Breeding.
You plant.
It's called breeding.
Yeah, you breed them, and you get different characteristics.
Like
on each generation. And you say, hey, that looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Let's breed this with another one. Then you look at that generation. Hey, this one's really cool. Yeah. And then when you get something you really like, you clone them.
Really?
Yes. Bring in the clones, yes.
So what else you got besides poinsettias and the chop chop winners?
Christmas cactus. Good selection of those right now.
Those are fun,
have they started blooming yet? Yeah. Or when do they bloom?
They bloom typically about now.
Christmas Day?
Just starting to bloom. Yes. Well.
That's playing.
Just asking.
We'll get into Christmas cactus a little bit there. They're not. They're really not a cactus, actually.
They're not?
No,
Do they have thorns on them?
If they had thorns, they probably wouldn't sell that well. But no. They're just very showy flowers, very easy to grow plants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we'll get into that a little bit later on the show. But anyway, the poinsettias, we have lots of those right now. And the houseplants, we've got a great selection. And the succulent plants, those are becoming very popular because they're so easy to grow, easy to care for. And we sold a lot of succulent plants this year. We have a great selection of those weird-looking plants, too.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty cool.
Pre-emergent, not yet?
About a month ago, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so be it.
About a month ago. Now, the pre-emergent for the spring and summer weeds, you want to wait until St. Patrick's Day for that.
Oh, I thought we did that on Valentine's Day.
Crabgrass.
What do we do on Valentine's
Day? Valentine's Day is when you do the real, the chainsawing, the real
heavy
diesel-powered, steam-powered hedge trippers. Okay.
And my monkey grass, should I cut it back now?
Nope. You want to leave the tassels on it right now. It helps insulate it from the cold. You can't, if we get a zinger, it can scorch it pretty bad. It damages the root system, so you want to leave as much of the top on as possible.
Mine needs damaging because it's so thick.
Well, you know, you can separate that. You can dig it up and divide it. I've done that to mine. I got some clumps there that I know are 30 years old, and I've split them up several times.
Gosh, they get so big and thick.
Yeah, they do. So.
Yeah.
Yep. So I've done that a lot, and this year I'm going to do some more. I got have some Bermuda grass invading into it too, so I'm going to separate my monkey grass.
Yeah.
This winter.
Well,
it's
good.
It's tough stuff.
Okay, I did. I got to tell you, my emerald arborvitaes.
Right.
The ones that have gotten so big.
Uh-huh.
The one on the west literally looked like it was dying and turning brown.
Mm-hmm.
So I did spray it with a couple times with Vulcan spray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the like an oil.
Yeah, Vulcan.
You know, the what do you call that oil?
It's a jar with the pointy ears on it, yes.
Yeah, okay. I sprayed them down real good, and they have died off there, but the whole thing isn't dead yet, and it acts like it's still green in there. What's the problem?
The arborvitae, it can come back. It's probably a case of mites. Yeah, in that case, maybe on the west side, perhaps. It could also have gotten too hot. I know it's close to pavement right there. The arborvitae has a sap that has a very low boiling point. Remember that summer it got down to about 4,000 or 5,000 degrees for a while and melted everybody's roofs. All the roads were melting and everything else.
Yeah.
The car tires were just melting in blobs everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
The arborvitae took a real hit then.
Really?
So if that was the case, then that part of the plant won't come back. However, if it was mites, or it could have even been bagworms, and you got them under control in time.
I've got those under control.
Yeah, but it could be mites as well. Really, nothing bothers them. They're basically old graveyard plants.
What's that? I mean,
arborvitae.
So you can't kill them?
They're tough. They're very tough.
I thought they were pretty.
But they are susceptible to bagworms and mites.
I know.
As well. So.
And every spring now, I've been pouring the imidacloprid. Yes,
that controls the bagworms. However, mites are—they're not an insect.
Okay.
They're an arachnid.
On June 14th or 17th, Flag Day, whatever it is, I spray them with something else.
So, yeah, pyrethroids work very well. If you can get a hold of some lindane, that works very well.
Lindane.
But yeah,
didn't he work here, Lindane?
I don't know.
Hey, Lindane, how you been?
I thought he was the one that flew around the world or something like that.
Yeah. Came to dance after him. People are doing the Lindane.
No, not hardly.
Okay.
Lindane was before the EPA took it off the market. That was very effective.
Oh.
So if anybody out there has Lindane, please call us. We need some.
Neem oil works very well, but it's a topical application. You have to actually target the spider mite.
Okay.
Pretty well, that too. So there are alternatives to Lindane.
Larry, we have some hand sanitizer here from our local company.
I know. I did some. I went online, looked at their webpage. They're quite a company.
I know it.
Yes, very good.
So they just moved here, and they're part of our Green Country Christmas too.
Uh-huh.
They're going to give away $500
on the
22nd also.
Great.
And so,
hopefully they're doing very well in exporting this. A lot of it.
I think what was it, Tom? They said 193 semi-loads to
like
Costco.
That. Yeah.
Wow. Costco, huh?
Costco carries.
And these bottles have Bartlesville, Oklahoma written
it
right on the back. There you go.
America.
All right.
Bartlesville, America, right there. Anyway. All right, Larry, we're going to let you get to your stuff.
Okay,
the tree of the week and the tree of the day.
Tree of the week and weed of the week.
Weed of the week. What is weed of the week? Hen bet?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. But I'm going to murder some today.
How about dandelions?
Today's the day to murder them. All
right. First degree hen bet murder right there.
I've been literally waiting to do this for a month. And I said, we hadn't gotten cold enough.
Yeah. Well, you could always do a practice run and spray water or fertilizer.
Yeah.
It's not as fun, though.
It's not.
All right. See you, Kevin.
And let me tell you, my Roundup is not that you get at
the store. Right.
No. Mine's the farm kind.
50%?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I can get a good kill.
We sell that under the label of aquatic.
Do you?
Glyphosate, yeah. But we have a 48% solution there, too. But we only have it in smaller bottles.
I actually get it at the Bartlett Co-op.
Yeah.
From a farm.
55-gallon drum, yes.
55-gallon drum.
I have my farm card.
See you, Kevin.
All righty. We're going to be back with more in just a moment right here. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program, and we'll be back after this 1-3 minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of poinsettias in all sizes and colors. Now's the time to get fresh cut greenery to decorate the outside of your home, and for inside, pick up a Christmas cactus or two. Green Thumb has just about everything for the hard to shop for gardener. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday. Saturday, noon to 5 Sunday. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. If you call United Reynolds Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. We all pull out the same inventory. The reason we do that is so that we can give each customer the amount of time that they need. We don't want to rush anyone, and that's why we have a Strategic Sales Team call center. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Hello, this is Congressman Kevin Hearn. I'm proud to share with you that this past year we were able to help hundreds of veterans get the recognition they deserved or the care that they needed. I brought the Veterans History Project to Oklahoma for the first time. The Veterans History Project catalogs the personal stories of American veterans to be kept at the Library of Congress and stored for future generations. Through this project, I've helped share the stories of some truly incredible Oklahomans, including a local veteran who shared stories not only from his service, but that of his father as well. Capturing these memories means so much to the families of our veterans, but it's also a priceless gift to all Americans. My team has years of experience navigating through issues and claims with the VA, and we've helped hundreds of veterans over the last 2 years. If you or someone you know should be included in the Veterans History Project, needs help with the Veterans Administration or any other federal agency, please visit hearn.house.gov or call 918-935-3222.
This ad is paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
The air is crisp, the leaves have fallen, and Christmas will soon be here. It's time to celebrate the holidays with OKM Music's 4th annual Chris Kendall Market Online, Saturday, December 12th. Order delicious food, Christmas tamales, desserts, glühwein, and more. Enjoy a virtual concert by nationally acclaimed trio, Take 3. Don't forget to shop online for unique trinkets that make perfect gifts for the holidays. For more information, visit okmmusic.org.
Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is Spencer Smythe, and I'm the worship pastor at Spirit Church. And it's no secret that 2020 has been a bit of a strange year. Maybe for many of us, it's been a year of grief or of difficulty. But I want to personally invite you to our Christmas celebration at Spirit Church, where we celebrate the good news of the gospel, that Jesus has come, that we might have a life, that we might be set free. We hope you'll join us on December 13th at 9:30 or 11 o'clock in person or online at spirit.church/watch. Merry Christmas from all of us at Spirit Church, and God bless.
Now it's time for the Green Country Gardener Program, and you can join us here at 1-800-749-5936. I heard it through the grapevine. Grapevine's doing anything these days? We might as well get all questions out.
Grapevines. They're dormant right now, yeah. And it's getting time to prune your grapevines.
Just like anything else, huh?
Yeah, like anything else, exactly. Yeah. And you prune them back, those scaffolds. mm-hmm. just like you do your clematis.
Got it.
But we don't have to worry about that quite yet.
Nah.
But usually you want to prune typically shortly before they begin to grow out,
mm-hmm.
just so the healing process takes
place.
Takes effect. That's mm-hmm. kind of why we wait till the middle of March or so to do our heavy pruning, just before things start to really, really start to grow.
Got it.
Of course, the weather can have a factor in that, so it might not be St. Patrick's Day. It might be 1st of March. Who knows? Depends on the weather. We could be buried in snow. We missed a good snowstorm last week.
Yes, we did.
What's wrong with you guys? Why can't you make it snow over here?
You know, I've got two ladies at home asking me the same question. Well, you know, both of them are from up north, eh?
Yeah.
Not Minnesota, but Wisconsin.
Yeah, people yeah. here are missing snow. They really yeah. want to see some.
Yeah, they do.
And then 5 minutes after they're out in it, said, "What is this stuff? I can't
stand
this mess."
Last year on a Saturday, they called off a basketball tournament. They had the TV trucks from Tulsa up here. The city of Bartlesville is under siege. It's under snow. It's shutting down. Oh, my God. It was 1.5 to 2 inches of snow.
Oh, yes.
And by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Headline news.
Yeah, boy.
Huh. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. But anyway, let's go get back to the points.
Are we going to get a big one, though? Are we going to get a big snow, though?
Statistically, we're due for one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, statistically.
Statistically.
Do that. And that could be totally wrong, just on the law of averages. It's been a while since we've had a good snow, so.
Well, I trust you more than my meteorology degree.
Well, no, the mathematics of it, yes.
Yes, indeed. What you got going on here? I'm sorry for interrupting.
Okay. We were talking about poinsettias, and poinsettias are traditional Christmas plants that typically will last through the Christmas season and beyond. It is important to select the best plant for your home environment.
Yes.
So, the following are a few selection pointers. Now, pay attention, people. You want to choose a plant with dark green foliage all the way down to the soil line. In other words, if it looks like everything's just on the top, that plant's been under some kind of stress, it might have gotten cold in shipping or something, and it drops some lower leaves. And December the 24th, everything will fall apart.
Oh,
no. You want to make sure it's a good, healthy plant that's been taken care of real well. Choose the bracts, or the modified leaves, that
mm-hmm.
are completely filled in with red.
Got it.
Or yellow, or white, or speckled, whatever color mm-hmm. they are. You want to choose them that are completely filled in. Do not purchase poinsettias with a lot of green around the edges of the bract. That means their development was somewhat arrested, and they really won't be a pretty plant. Do not choose a plant with fallen or yellow leaves. They should look full, balanced, and attractive from all sides. It sounds like a beauty contest.
Yeah, almost.
We have a caller, do we?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the plant actually should be 2.5 times taller than the diameter of the container. So you get a 6-inch wide container, it should be about 16 inches taller.
Got
so that's just for proportioning and all that.
Got it.
So this is for the cup, the poinsettia cup.
Got it.
If you're going to win something. Choose plants that are not drooping or wilting. Typically, if a poinsettia is drooping or wilting, the potting mix perhaps is too heavy. Poinsettias don't like tight roots. They don't like tight soil. They are not indigenous to areas of heavy soil. In other words, they won't make it here in our indigenous soil here.
They won't.
So, no, they won't. The soil's too heavy for them. Do not purchase plants that are displayed in paper or plastic sleeves. The pre-wrapped ones and all that.
Okay, gotcha.
Plants held in sleeves will deteriorate fairly quickly. That's because you have loss of the vigor of the root system when that happens. And then when you subject it to high or low humidities in the house and a lot of circulating air and a constant warm temperature, they have a difficult time adapting to that. And they droop, if you will.
No.
Make sure the plants are not in a cart somewhere. In other words, the people in the store should take the time to take them off the cart and water them properly. If they're all locked up in a cart, like chickens in a hen house, then they can cause a premature bract loss too, and kind of a downtrodden look when all your relatives come in. The house looks great, but your poinsettias look terrible. check the plant soil. If it's wet and the plant is wilted, this could be an indication of root rot.
No.
Poinsettias can be difficult to grow because of the root rot factor. They are euphorbias. Euphorbia pulcherrima is the genus and species of this plant. And euphorbias typically are indigenous to areas of drying area, of drying climate, if you will, not overly wet climates. So they need to be planted in a very light potting soil that drains really well, and typically on a greenhouse bench where the water goes through into the ground, not living on a saucer, if you will. Okay. If you do want to put a saucer underneath your poinsettia, and you buy them at the nursery, you get a saucer. We have plenty of gravel on the west side of the greenhouse. Big old pile of 3/8-inch gravel. Just come grab a handful of it, and that'll keep the plant up above the water in the pot.
Got it.
Water in the saucer, so it doesn't get rotted out. So, okay. Check the plant soil. If it's wet and the plant is wilted, you can be rot. Check the maturity. Look at the true flowers on the poinsettia. The bracts on the poinsettia, they're not a real flower. There's what we call a modified leaf.
Modified leaf, okay.
And the color changes to attract pollinators, insects and whatnot, to pollinate the leaf. And the true flowers are down inside, and they're real tiny little things. And at this point in time, they should not be open. In another 2 weeks, they should be beginning to open. And the week of Christmas, the flowers should be open at that point. So right now, the flowers should be pretty well closed up at this point. And ours at the nursery are at that point right now. If the flowers have opened on a poinsettia, then they've been around a while. And chances are, they probably won't make a good appearance come Christmas time. Okay, and when you take your poinsettia home, make sure to have it sleeved or covered when the outdoor temperatures are below 50 degrees. Well, this week will be a great week to buy poinsettias. You don't have to have them sleeved. Mm-hmm. They are a little bit fragile, so you might want to ask for that anyway, to have it sleeved when you take it home, just so it doesn't get damaged when you turn the corner or you have to evade that person who pulls out in front of you. And, slam on the brakes. Oh, the poinsettia flies out of the car.
No.
So you might want to go ahead and have it sleeved when you pick
just,
it up.
Just an ounce of prevention.
Ounce of prevention. So when you get it home, make sure when you do water it, you permit the soil to dry out between waterings. Don't let it stay constantly wet. And don't get it so dry to the point where the plant wilts.
Yeah, that's beyond the point of return, isn't it?
Yes. Well, not really. It'll pop back
up. It'll pop back
up. But it does do some damage to the appearance of the plants. You might drop a few leaves on it. So you might want to make sure that just and after a while, based on your humidity and the temperature, you will develop a schedule on the plant. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say when your plant will this.
You just got to check.
The answer, the question is whether they should be planted, not when they should be planted. So let the surface of the soil dry out between waterings.
Got it.
And make a quick note of when that happens. You'll develop a schedule based on your climate in the house. Now, as it gets colder, the heater works a bit more in the house, and they're going to tend to dry out a lot quicker. And likewise,
check more often.
Exactly. So this week, when it's going to be warm, the heater doesn't work as hard, so that air won't expand through it, and the water humidity droplets. If you call them that, I guess that's what they are.
That's air.
Are further apart because the air is expanded into the
turn. Molecules separate.
Exactly. And so the humidity goes down rather significantly. Mm-hmm. Hence the spark when you touch the cat when you walk across the carpet.
Is that that?
Yeah. So you want to, as it gets drier, watch the watering very carefully.
Okay. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program. Your telephone calls are always welcome at 1-800-749-5936. He's Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. And we're going to be back here in just a moment after this 3-minute, 5-second timeout.
What do you do if you really need a better vehicle, but you have bad credit? Come talk with your friends at Roman's Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Roman's not only has the ability, but also the desire to get anyone approved for a vehicle. They are your one-stop shop. They'll buy your old vehicle, help you find a great ride, and now help with financing no matter how bad your credit is. Get more details from Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Romans, with financing for everyone.
It's Christmas a la carte time. Get your tickets now at Muxy on 2nd for $15. The Home on Tour is the home of Shelley Miller, 301 East 20th Street. And after the tour, find your sweet treat at the Sugar Plum Shop. The Christmas a la carte is sponsored by Arvest Bank, with all proceeds benefiting the Bartlesville Civic Ballet. Times and dates are Thursday and Friday, December 10th and 11th from 7 to 9. Saturday, December 12th from 10 to noon, noon to 2, and 2 to 4. On Sunday, December 13th from 1 to 3 and 3 to 5.
Mr. Clean Car Wash is open.
We are open for business, and we have a manager special, which is $20, which includes our platinum package with an extra coat of Carnauba wax, a 48-hour rain guarantee. The microfiber towel comes with the free towel. Just come back. If you're not happy with your wash, come back within 48 hours. Enter the code on the 5-digit code on the bottom, and you'll get a free bronze wash.
With your safety in mind.
Wiping down the auto sentries after about every two or three people come by, wiping off all the vacuum handles with good bleach and water.
Mr. Clean.
Bartlesville Radio's Green Country Christmas is underway.
Shop the store with a green tree on the door. Receive a green numbered ticket just for asking, and get another ticket for every $10 you spend.
Listen for daily ticket numbers drawn for daily prizes.
The grand prize drawing will be Tuesday, December 22nd.
You could win $5,000 cash from us, 2 round-trip Southwest airline tickets anywhere in the continental U.S. from Spears Travel,
set of tires, detail and alignment from Dunges Family of Autos,
One $3,000 cash prize, one $2,000 cash prize, and five $1,000 cash prizes from Cherokee Casino, Ramona. 6-foot dining table with 2 benches from Sand Creek Design.
Tickets available at
Wooden Buffalo, Oklahoma Farm Bureau, Lawana Duncan Agency.
Shop any of these local businesses and start collecting those tickets.
Be in the green this year. Green Country Christmas from K1, KYFM, KREG, KPGM Radio.
Leftovers should be left in the fridge till you're ready to eat them.
Could you pass the info, please?
Information should be served fresh.
Oh, thanks.
And that's what we give you weekday mornings on the Love K1 it. Morning News.
We're going to get all the facts and all the information
from the beginning,
top to bottom, 24/7.
All the news.
Because I know a lot of people are asking.
The K1 Morning News, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
A treasure chest of information.
On K1, the one you trust. All right. Good morning and welcome back. It is 3:38. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener program right here on your favorite radio station. And your toll-free calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. Larry, we just got done with the poinsettias.
Poinsettias. Actually, poinsettias do make a very good houseplant.
They do.
Because they can tolerate some conditions in the house, the dryness and so on. Mm-hmm. They're actually native to Mexico. It tends to be a little dry down there in some parts, especially where they come from. Mm-hmm. And in that neck of the woods, they get to be about 10 feet tall or so.
That's a lot of poinsettia.
Yeah, but we have a controlling factor here.
Yeah.
Called a freeze.
So it minimizes things.
They don't get that big here. Actually, we've had some customers who can keep their poinsettias alive all through the summer.
Mm.
Then they bring it in the house and so on. However, getting them to change color is a bit of a difficult thing. Not really. You just cannot let them be subject to any nighttime light at all.
Yeah, got to give them a rest.
Yeah, that street light, you know, if it turns on at night, it'll ruin everything. So make sure it's in an area. And really, you need to start this in September, the changing of the nighttime. It has to have a less of a nighttime time than daytime. In other words, more night than day for it to change color. And then when that happens, you should probably get some coloring, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can do it every year. They got a part of the house they never go in at night. So the sunroom or something, yes. Yeah. This wouldn't work at my house. I've got low voltage lights all over the place. So
same here.
So yeah, it wouldn't work at my house. But we've had some customers who've been able to keep them going year after year. So it's kind of fun, kind of a hobby thing, if you will. So anyway, that moves us to Christmas trees in the house. And how do you make them survive? Well, probably the key factor in getting a live tree to survive in the house is acclimatization. Okay. In other words, they're outside at this point, and you bring them inside the house, which has a more constant temperature and climate. it's a bit of a shock on the plant because they're used to some cooler weather and a bit of humidity also. And you bring it into the house and it's a bit of a culture shock and it can have some problems, if you will.
Ooh.
So you leave it outside for a while and then you put it into the garage for a week or intermediate climate area.
Got it.
And then in the house for the week. Decorate it and all that and have Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then put it out back in the garage for a week, then outside in a particular area for a week, then plant it. So it's kind of some 4-week kind of thing, really.
Ooh.
So your live Christmas tree at this point probably should be outside on the patio at this point. And about the 18th or so, you bring it into the garage and let it get used to a more constant temperature. Mm-hmm. And then Christmas Eve or so, make it a tradition to decorate the tree and then enjoy it for a week in the house. And then bring it back into the garage and then outside again. So
replanting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's trees really aren't, it's unnatural for them to have such a dramatic change in climate.
Yeah, it's not like they pick up and go places.
Well, know? they're indigenous to areas, not around here.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And our climate can be, golly, I've been outside working in 70 degrees, and 3 minutes later, it's like 40. You know?
Oh, it'll do that.
Yeah.
This time of year especially, it will do that.
It might happen this week. It's supposed to be good
couple
and warm
of times,
at the end of the week, and then it'll get cold. So that's probably why we don't have very many spruce trees like that are indigenous in this area. So anyway, so that's kind of the deal. And watering is very important also. Don't let it get too dry in the house. Some people neglect them in the house, and they literally just dry up. Mm-hmm. So there are several ways to water it. You can put it in a big saucer so it doesn't drip everywhere, mm-hmm. or put some ice cubes on it on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and let it melt through. And typically, the melts at such a slow rate that it doesn't really drip on through.
Understood.
So that's one way to do it. Of course, it's difficult to get ice cubes up inside there. Another thing is perhaps a gravity-fed drip system. But that's it takes a bit of engineering.
Yeah, you got to know what you're doing.
So just water it maybe every day. Give it a cup of water or something. Just to keep it going while it's in the house.
Wow, yeah.
Should do okay. And then plant them outside. And keep in mind all the factors when you plant a tree. This is what we've discussed this before.
Yes.
Utilities and slope and drainage and sunshine, all those factors. And distance from the house. All those factors have to play in when you're choosing a selection for it to grow. Mm-hmm. Some people plant them, say, up against the back fence or something. And just by some chance, they didn't hit all the underground utilities.
By some chance?
Yeah.
A random happenstance.
And, you know, it always happens on Friday afternoon at 4:45.
Oh, yeah. And you become the most popular person on earth.
On the neighborhood. Oh, you cut out the whole neighborhood. Oh, no. I can't watch Netflix.
So
No. So, yeah, you want to be very careful to have those utilities marked before you plant the tree, too. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Good deal.
That's one thing we do on a regular basis is when we know the utility line's in the way, and they're just, you never know where they are.
Uh-huh.
We did a project up north of town and had the utilities called. It turned out there's nothing where we were working. But just as a matter of protocol, we called in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it online, too. They've got a very good webpage. I kind of like to do it online. I think they respond a little faster that way for some odd reason.
They're more geared up to it. You know,
yeah. Uh-huh. And you just have to enter your address and what you're going to do and all that. Make sure you're not going to use any dynamite. And they'll come out and flag it for you. And make sure they also, when they do come out, that they have access to the backyard. In other words, keep the Rottweiler.
The Rottweiler.
out of the way. And I don't know. I guess they ring your doorbell when they come up just to make sure.
Oh, boy.
So that the dog gets put away. So, and you might make a note of that, too. Got a big dog. So they will go ahead and ring your doorbell so they don't have to. Well, they'll use up all their doggy treats that way. They won't have enough for everybody. So it's a good idea to call ahead. So that's kind of that with that. Also, we talk about landscaping. You want to do a plan, perhaps, here for your landscape.
Yep.
And you can do it yourself by making a scale drawing of the property with all the driveways and sidewalks and locate areas where you might want to locate shrub beds and trees and so on. And then don't worry about identifying plants. This is the way we learned back in school. Draw circles and blobs.
Circles and blobs.
I want something low right over here. I want something big and cone-shaped over here, so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about the plant species when you do a design. Then once you're happy with what this thing will look like, not only now but years later, then you go through the books and identify plant materials that will fit that particular need.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. In other words, a low-growing evergreen plant. Well, that could be anything from a Jap Garden juniper to a soft-touch holly. They're both low-growing, and the soft-touch is kind of a new introduction, really. Mm-hmm. And we've had pretty good luck with this in surviving, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. The predecessor to that would be the Heller's holly. And whenever we did a job that called for, say, 5 Heller's holly, we'd buy 15.
Okay.
Because you lose half of them.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we've had very good luck with the soft touch holly.
All right.
As the name implies, it's a holly that's very easy on the touch. And it's kind of attractive, really. It grows this irregular, low growing growth habit. It's really quite nice under windows.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of houses in town have very low windows, and that can be a kind of a tough one to call, really, mm-hmm. sometimes. But this plant, another one I like, is a Bordeaux dwarf yaupon holly. It tends to be a bit more compact than the others, and the leaf color is a little shinier and a little darker too. So it
adds a little attractiveness to it.
Exactly, and it trims very well. And on the dwarf yaupons, if you want to keep them low, you just have to save them almost every year. I take the hedge clippers to they're 30 years old at my house, and I just trim them straight across, about the.
Come back just as good as new.
About 9 inches tall, and they come back just fine.
Wow, that's amazing.
I really butchered some this last spring. Oh, man, they look like little tiny hat racks. But they came back so nice, though.
Oh, my.
So anyway, when planting a landscape, there are so many plant choices out there that you can use that stay in bounds real well. There's so much new stuff out there that, golly, the sky's the limit on that. So. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to take another break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program after this 2-minute, 13-second timeout.
Want to know why Christmas shopping is always great at Peters True Value? Because Peters has fantastic bargains of the month, like Master Mechanic 100-piece screwdriver and bit set for $24.99, saving you $10. Check out the Weber grills on sale at Peters. The Weber Spirit 2 for $379. The Weber Spirit S 315 for $599. And the Weber Smokefire X4 wood-fired pellet grill for $799, savings of $200. Head to Peters True Value in Dewey, where Christmas shopping saves you money.
Evan Farbach, David Counterman back with you. Honda of Bartlesville, Highway 75 South in Bartlesville. Happy Honda days right here toward the end of the year, David. Really good time to buy a car. You've got some of your older models you're wanting to move out, and then you've got good deals and some of the newer ones as well.
That's right, Evan. This is a great time of year for us here at Honda with Happy Honda days at the year-end closeout. We've got deep discounts on all remaining new 2020 models as well as incoming 2021 models. So we've got a great selection right now. Rates are as low as 0.9% on most new Hondas. The selection's great. We've got cars, trucks, SUVs, minivans, as well as an outstanding selection of used cars. You can visit us and shop us online at BartlesvilleHonda.com, and we're located on the south side of Bartlesville, Highway 75.
Can't miss those big blue tents over here on the east side of Highway 75 South. Happy Honda Days, year-end event at Honda Bartlesville. David, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Bartlesville Honda is a proud supporter of the Bartlesville PD Child Safety Council.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of poinsettias in all sizes and colors. Now's the time to get fresh-cut greenery to decorate the outside of your home, and for inside, pick up a Christmas cactus or two. Green Thumb has just about everything for the hard-to-shop-for gardener. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 Sunday. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road.
Road.
Good morning and welcome back. It is the Green Country Gardener Program, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, what's next on our agenda today?
Well, another part of the landscape, of course, are trees, and that leads us up to Trees of the Week. Tree of the Week, rather. The blue spruce grows 75 to 100 feet tall in its native habitat. Over here, we can probably get 40, 50 feet out of them, really, at the most. Here it gets about 30 feet or so, depending on the soil. This one can be tough to establish. Many people water them too much, or they plant them too deeply into the ground. When we plant a blue spruce, I like to mound it up a little bit. They're indigenous to mountains. You look at the climate in which they originate. I was in a Sandia Mountain over there in Albuquerque, taking the chairlift up. And I noticed as you go up, you get these different ecosystems.
Oh yeah!
As you go
different
elevations over there, and of course I go to these plants. I look at plants. What are you looking at?
The indigenous plants, of course.
Material. That's what. And as you went up, you went from the scrub pines and the yuccas and all that up to spruce, lots of blue spruce.
Beautiful trees.
Exactly, and it's in an area that's obviously on a mountaintop. They're well drained and rocky soil by all means. So that's why they do well here. Is the soil is you got pockets of good soil and good drainage and so on. They do very well. So anyway, that lesson learned on that. But anyway, so that's why they don't make it. Some people kill them.
Oh no!
They plant them too deeply, or they put them in an area that doesn't drain very well. So the site is probably the most important thing in picking a blue spruce where it's supposed to go. This tree takes a drought rather well. It is not suited for our clay. Or heavy clay soils. It likes a loose, well-drained soil and does not like the heat too well. So somewhere out in the open, keep it away from the west side of the house. Keep it away from the west side of the fence. Should do okay. Mites can be a problem on them too. So that's one reason why you don't want to put it in an area that's subjected to a lot of heat, because mites really like it warm. And if they're, say, out in the open yard somewhere or in an area that's shaded, say, from the hot afternoon sun, chances are you won't get a mite problem with them. So so be prepared to spray in the spring if you got mites early to mid-May and up in July, though. So for that, too. So pyrethroids work very well to control them. Fertilize with a complete fertilizer with some trace elements in it. Our soil here is relatively young. It's only a few million years old. And there's not as many trace elements as there are in the areas where the spruce trees are indigenous. The soil is millions of years old there.
We were in a
shallow sea here for quite some time.
And
water them, of course, when it gets really, really droughty, and that happens here occasionally. I remember back in the late 70s, we had a time period where it was 103 days of over 100 degree weather, no sun, no wind. It was just horrible.
When was this again?
Late 70s.
Yeah.
I think 1978. It was really, really dry that year for 3 months.
I think I was living in Texas. It rained the day I got there. It rained the day I left.
Not in between.
Nothing in between. It was horribly hot.
I was working in lawn maintenance over at the Grove at that time. Just a young person back then. It didn't bother me at
Weren't
all.
Weren't we both?
Yeah, sweated like a wet umbrella, you know. but I didn't care. It was fine. Heat didn't bother me then. So anyway, but we had some problems with some plants that year.
So
there are several varieties. There's what I really like is the fastigiated varieties. There's one called Totem, which is narrow and upright, and it works real well close to the house, if you will, because it doesn't get real broad and take up a lot of space.
Yeah.
And the globe spruce also is another one, but they get big over time.
They get wide, huh?
Case in point, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But anyway, yeah, maybe I get a little wide too as I get older. But keep them, say, at least 4 feet away from the sidewalk.
All righty. We're going to have to take...
go ahead.
Go ahead. Keep them away from the sidewalk because...
They get rather large.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
The globe spruce. They look real nice and small when you get them. But and they're going to look like they're too far away when you plant them, but they'll grow into it.
They will. They'll grow into it. We'll be right back after this 3 minute, 5 second
we're running out of time.
Although a Republican, Frank Phillips was a man who wisely hedged his bets. And so it was that even though he backed the other candidate, In December 1935, he invited Elliott Roosevelt, the son of President Franklin Roosevelt, to Willow Rock. According to reports, the menu for the day was elk barbecue and beer. Mr. Phillips had already cooked up a plan to make the weekend a bit more special for Roosevelt and for the other guests. Roosevelt wanted to shoot a buffalo, so Frank gave him a rifle and out they went to stalk their prey. Elliott Roosevelt was considered an excellent shot, but as the herd of massive animals roared past, Roosevelt fired once and then twice, but no buffalo hit the ground. Frank's ranch manager, Griff Graham, seized the gun from Roosevelt, took quick aim, and killed the buffalo. Roosevelt was embarrassed to have been such a poor shot in front of friends and his distinguished host, and he took a good-natured ribbing for his shooting skills throughout dinner, when finally Mr. Phillips, roaring with laughter, admitted they had loaded the gun with two blanks. That evening, Mr. Phillips had to leave the ranch for a meeting in Chicago, but Roosevelt remained behind to try again, this time with live ammunition. The next day, Roosevelt wired Frank Phillips the following message: 1,600 pounds and a beauty, and this one only took one shot. The magic of Willow Rock, just as it is today. Come see us soon, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
TrueSafe, your new Bartlesville brand and makers of the TriCleanse, TrueCleanse, and TrueSafe line of hand sanitizers and PPE, wishes all of our new neighbors a safe holiday season. Be sure to stop by downtown Bartlesville and shop, dine, and enjoy our wonderful downtown safely by stopping by one of the sanitizer stations. Look for a TrueSafe sanitizer elf handing out free bottles of our premium customized formula of hand sanitizing gel. Say the phrase, "Sanitize me, please," and get a TrueSafe ticket and listen to win $500 to help make the 2020 holiday season a little brighter. All you need to do is seek out our roaming sanitizer elf. Mention the phrase that pays, "Sanitize me, please," this ad, and get a special green ticket. Sanitizer elves will be in the downtown area during the holiday season.
When you're hungry, head to Egbert's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for you breakfast lovers, they serve breakfast all day long. Egbert's has five locations in the area: Bartlesville, Claremore, Caney, Coffeyville, and Independence. Hungry? Stop in at Egbert's for dine-in, carry-out, and even order your meal online. Egbert's hours are Sunday through Thursday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 6 a.m. to midnight. That's Egbert's Restaurant.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Larry, what we got going on here?
Golly, we have the best-looking over Green Thumb Nursery over Nowata Road.
Yeah,
we have the best-looking poinsettias in town, and no, they are not poisonous.
Hey.
Colors from pink to white to red. Variegated colors make a striking accent in the home, too. Get several for festive holiday decorations. We also have a Christmas cactus.
Ah, beautiful plant.
Pop by and look at those. Mm-hmm. Christmas cactus are everywhere during the holiday season. They're blooming succulent. They can live up to 100 years.
Yeah.
They are originated in the shady, humid forests of Brazil and are epiphytic. Ooh, mm-hmm. I don't know if I want one of those in the house or not. But anyway, epiphytic are plants like orchids. Mm-hmm. They live on the top of tree bark and whatnot.
Gotcha.
So above ground in trees and branches and so on. And anyway, they're starting to bloom right now. We've got plenty of Christmas cactus, and they're good, durable houseplants. And they can last for up to a century, actually. They live a long time. So anyway, come by the nursery and see what else we got. We have all kinds of other gift items for you to look at. 4605 Norada Road, the south side of the road, halfway between Highway 75 and Madison Boulevard. And golly, Tom, it's been a great show. Loved coming on in.
Happy birthday, by the way, to the show.
Oh, yes. It's been, 19 years mm-hmm. now? Yeah. Anyway, that's a lot of shovel sharpening.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnsdall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour.